Swinger Surfer Live. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on.
How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. East, and Sundays, 6 p.m. East. I'm here on Sundays. Last week, actually, Brian was here filling in pay-per-view weekend. What a dud of a pay-per-view. A lot of high hopes for this show. Didn't happen for many. A lot of speculation on The Rock showing up or a crazy ending to the pay-per-view. A Montreal-type ending, but we didn't get that. We got a pretty, by-the-books, Survivor Series. I was going to say Royal Rumble. My mind is ahead tremendously into the pay-per-view, the next two big pay-per-views. But, you know, it was what it was. We saw Monday Night Raw happen. Wednesday Night Dynamite, we're going to talk about it. Thanksgiving Eve edition of Dynamite, which means that the ratings were lower. The viewership was lower. We also have a peek at the Fast Nationals for both Rampage and SmackDown. And I got to tell you, those Rampage numbers are dwindling. And little surprising to me that they're falling so quickly. But listen, it was a holiday weekend, right? A lot of people are out of town. A lot of people are coming back. Also, a big night of going out and drinking, both Wednesday and Friday. I mean, we could come up with all the excuses in the world, but... You know, we got to call it what it is. They got to do something about those numbers, and maybe Friday nights at 10 p.m. are not the night for them. We got to go into that. Also, joining us in a little bit, in the second segment here on the show, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful is going to be joining us to talk about all of this week's pro wrestling news and everything else happening. I got to tell you, I'm excited to talk to him about this because I have not gotten a chance to talk about these ratings with anybody else. And I think there's something to look deep into them and kind of dissect this. And also to talk about why people are up in arms. Tons of stuff happening here. But we have all of that plus all the news coming ahead. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here on a Sunday. Got a busy Sunday ahead of us, too. Holy moly. I guess we'll start off with the troubles. All the problems that got started on my Twitter timeline yesterday. I made the big mistake. Dummy me. I posted the Fast Nationals for Friday Night Wrestling. The Rampage numbers and the SmackDown numbers. And I got to tell you, people were losing their minds. WWE SmackDown Friday night did 1.9 million. It was down about 1 point. So let's say flat even. 18 to 49, 650K, up about 3%. You would say, okay, you know what? That's a pretty flat number there. They didn't lose. They didn't gain. They just sat like that. All right, great. AEW Rampage, however, a little worrisome here. Now, these are Fast Nationals. What that means is it's not the total number. This is the Fast compiled number. Obviously, there's going to be Monday when we get these numbers, or Tuesday when we get these numbers. I think Monday, there's a delay due to the holidays. We'll be getting them, right? Monday or Tuesday. They'll add a little bit more to this. 403,000 total viewers for Fast National numbers, down 28% over last week's Fast Nationals. 18 to 49, 223,000, down 22%. So you look at this and you're saying, okay, well, what's going on here, right? Obviously, we got to look at the reality here. Friday night's not a fantastic night to watch wrestling at 10 p.m., especially 10 p.m. East, right? If you're in the 18 to 49 demo, there's a very good chance, not saying everybody lives a different life, but there's a very good chance you're not home. You're out. I was home, and guess what? I didn't watch Rampage live. I watch it on Saturdays. SmackDown I caught a little bit, but not really. I didn't sit there and watch the whole thing. And now there was such an uproar with people discussing numbers. Guys, listen, these numbers should not matter to you. These numbers really, I mean, it's cool to see them. I think everybody wants to see how well the product that they like is doing or how bad the product that they don't like is doing, which I don't understand that mentality whatsoever. Like what you like, don't like what you don't like. turn it off. If it bothers you that much that you're going to get to Twitter and you're going to start attacking people over the fact that they're watching a television show, which is unbelievable to me that that still goes on here. But there is a reality to this. And the reality is, and we all knew this going into it, and I'm not going to speak for Tony Khan. By the way, Tony told me I need to wear the shirt. He said, if you don't wear it, you're off the payroll, right? Because that's the big thing, right? Right? The second you talk about AEW, you're on the payroll. Same thing with WWE. So to kind of confuse everybody for watching me, which I don't think you are, I'm wearing an AEW shirt, jacket, and I'm wearing an Austin 316 t-shirt. So I'm kind of balancing everybody here. I'm being a centrist with covering pro wrestling. But the reality with these numbers are that, you know, they're not going to do 1 million viewers unless pro wrestling as an industry catches on fire like we've never seen. That's the reality of this. A 10 p.m. time slot on a Friday night, you know, they're going to go over. You know, normally they're in the sixes or sevens. You know, if it's a big match, maybe they'll pop the number. But the reality is it's not going to be a million plus for Friday night at 10 p.m. So then the conversation turns into, well, where can they move it? Tony Khan has said he doesn't want to compete on Mondays, obviously. He can't really do it on Tuesday. Because then that means that Rampage has to be a live show before Dynamite. Unless you move Dynamite to Tuesdays, and who knows if that's a possibility. There's so many different variables here. But if we're talking about a Friday night time slot, we're going to be here for a while. You know, we're going to be sitting in these numbers. And then that, you know what, to me, that's fine. That Rampage is a great show. I enjoy it every week when I watch it. Some weeks it's a bigger show than others. Much like everything else, we watch Rampage, we watch Dynamite, we watch Raw and SmackDown. Same exact story. Some weeks are bigger than the other week. But we have to get realistic here. This is what it's going to be for the time being. It is what it is. Unless they move to another night, we'll find out when they go to TBS, if that's even a possibility for them. So we saw that happen. Obviously, SmackDown, they held the numbers. Dynamite numbers was down. Historically, they do terrible the night before Thanksgiving. It's a big party night. The big drinking night, people are out, people are traveling. They did about 809,000 Fast National, down from the total viewership of 984. I expect that 809 to go up. NXT ratings, 625, up from 574 from the week prior. And Raw got a bump also in the numbers. So WWE was doing pretty good with the ratings, with the viewership this week. AEW felt the holiday hit here, which, I'm going to go into it more with Sean in the next segment, because I think he has some more insight on this that we could talk about. Tomorrow, Monday Night Raw takes place at the UBS Arena on Long Island, in Belmont, Long Island. This is a brand new arena, about 7 minutes from my house. They've sold some more tickets. I believe they're going to settle around 7,000 and some change here. I got to get the updated numbers via WrestleTix. Fantastic job on Twitter, by the way. AEW sold around 9,000. I expect that to go up even more for the same building a week later. So there's something going on here. The New York market, Chicago market has been utterly saturated with pro wrestling over the last, X amount of months. So, we'll see how WWE does. But, normally, and Davis said this multiple times, New York, Philly, Chicago, Boston, a little ahead of the curve. Little ahead. So I don't know if this is a major indicator of things to come, but, when you're struggling, brand new building, a lot of excitement for that building here in New York, especially in Long Island, where the Islanders are going to be playing. Very accessible via travel, super easy. There should be a little bit more excitement to this. To add more excitement to this, they added Edge on Monday night. So Brock is on Friday, Edge is on Monday. We're seeing this kind of even distribution of top special talent to appease the networks. It's happening, which I think a lot of people took that as a joke when I said that a couple of weeks ago, but that is the reality here, that they need to appease both the networks by giving them something big. You can't give to one and take away from the other. And I think Edge is the answer to that. Now, the question is, Edge is a babyface, and who's he going to face on that card, on that roster? Do you go back to Rollins? I don't think so. I think you need to separate those two for a while. So we're going to find something interesting. Whoever that can, challenger is to Edge leading into that pay-per-view, we'll find out. But very interesting stuff here. I'm hoping that they do better with the ticket sales. We'll have an updated number later on here. But pretty good week of pro wrestling news on TV. Very much enjoyed Dynamite. That opening segment, which we're going to talk about with Sean in the next segment here, that opening segment with CM Punk and MJF was, in modern wrestling, I would say, probably one of the best talking segments that we've had in a very long time. There was a lot of dispute whether or not it should have gone as long as it did. But I was perfectly fine with it. And I gauged it online. People were pretty happy with that segment. It was done in a very different way than we're used to seeing over this generation of wrestling. You know, the WWE way of the way that you stand, the way that you talk, the way that you cut a promo, where you pause for the audience, that was all out the window. This is a very different product. And it's refreshing to see two separate entities as WWE goes their way and AEW goes their way. We're starting to see that split between pro wrestling and sports entertainment. What we got on Wednesday was pro wrestling. That was a very much a pro wrestling segment, the way that it was, the words that they were using, the competitive nature between the two of them, that was very much pro wrestling. While on the WWE side, you know, there are major elements of pro wrestling still always going to be there, but they have really, and I say this every week, every single week, I nearly repeat myself with this. Going to SummerSlam was most likely the most eye-opening wrestling experience that I've had because I saw that definitive line in the sand that WWE is drawn right now between their product and everybody else. It's a spectacle. It's a event. You're going to Broadway. You're going to the theater. It's a Vegas production. It's a Vegas show. You're not going to see just a pro wrestling show. And I think that's where people are getting a little confused when they're talking about their products. When you look at WWE, listen, we all grew up on it. All of us. But they have gone in a very different direction here. Refreshing to some. Some people like it. Some people don't. We'll find out. We're going to be back from a break. Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live, joined by Sean Ross Sapp. We're back, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here. Boy, a lot to talk about. And you know what? I brought somebody on the show that knows a little bit about pro wrestling, I gotta say. A little bit, tiny bit. You know, I'm gonna introduce him as my step host of the evening, Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful. Sean, what's going on, man?
I don't think that works as well here, but yeah, got the wild hair going. Here we are.
There you go. Looking great.
Look, people asking you to give me grooming tips as if.
Sean, listen, first of all, before we go into it, I got to tell you, you're batting 1,000 this year. You've hit many, many home runs, which is always great to see. You know, I consider you a friend getting started in, I guess, in covering pro wrestling to the level I've been doing the last, I don't know, a year. You were a major, major help with kind of getting me to understand how some of this stuff works. So I want to tell everybody, you know, Sean really helped me out. Sean, Brian, a whole bunch of other guys that I talk to regularly were tremendous with kind of getting me started in this. So I want to thank you. And that's why I want to have you on here because, you know, you've been an instrumental part of this journey this year for me. I wanted to kind of have you on to talk about pro wrestling on Wrestling Observer Live. What better?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the more the merrier in that situation, the more sources reporting accurate info, I think the better in this line of work. So happy you're doing it.
Happy you're here. So let's get started with this. A lot of people lost their minds over these Fast Nationals on Saturday.
I missed a lot of that discourse. I was at WrestleCade as I'm still trying to fix my hair. Look at this. Still trying. But I was at WrestleCade. I of course saw that you posted them. And I saw that people lost their minds,
oh,
but
boy.
I was able to ignore most of the discourse.
So, you know, SmackDown held their rating, their numbers, which I didn't really expect them to kind of plummet here. But Rampage has been on a decline since the summer. And, you know, a lot of that has this week's decline, I would say, definitely has to do with the holiday that it dropped 22%. It's a holiday week. There's a lot of moving parts here. But as a whole, for Friday night, you know, in talking to people, that I know at Turner Sales and Warner Sales, they're not really complaining about these numbers. Where do you fall in line with this? Do you think this is a bad spot for them at the moment? I mean, to drop any more than this would be a little worrisome.
Well, again, I'm not a huge ratings guy, but here's the way that I look at it. It's probably drawing more than whatever else is going to be in that time slot on that channel on that night. Do I think it's a great time slot? No, I don't. I really just don't. I think that another one would be more desirable, but that's really not the role that they were given. They were given that Friday night late time slot, and TNT and Turner and Warner wanted them to fill a certain role. And I mean, they've drawn better numbers than NHL in a lot of sense, in a lot of things. I do think that if AEW wants to condition people to watch Rampage, they've got to put more must-watch stuff on Rampage. And I admittedly have not been able to check out this week's show yet, but when I was there in Chicago, it really felt like between the two nights, they could have taken two things off that pay-per-view, put them on the night before, and I wouldn't have felt like I should have been doing something else, because there wasn't a lot on that episode of Rampage before Full Gear that made me go, oh yeah, I had to be here. I just happened to go there because somebody I knew had a ticket, and we were like, yeah, let's go. I think they could do better in that sense. I think a lot of people are sort of deeming it missable, at least live. But I think there's a lot of room for improvement there on a lot of fronts.
Yeah, I think you hit the missable via live is the correct thing. Listen, they have great matches on there. I don't think I've watched a Rampage where, yeah, I thought it was a dud or it wasn't good. It's always decent. It's always a good. You always have one great match on there. It's fun to watch and it's a quick hour, but from 10 to 11, is it that quick of an hour for you? And I think that's the conversation people need to have.
Especially after two hours of SmackDown.
SmackDown, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Especially. Talking about long shows, Raw, this week, yeah, Edge is going to be back. And I think I had messaged you.
He's going to turn that chair sideways. He's going to sit in it. He's going to look directly at the hard camera.
What, you know, bringing back Edge, obviously, good for Raw, because it's gonna help, sure, a little bit here, and you kind of have to do that even distribution with SmackDown. But where does Edge go as far as that roster on Raw? Is he gonna challenge Big E for the title? Do you keep him as a baby? Where do you feel that this should go?
Somebody completely new, or somebody that maybe he's got history with from long ago. I don't want to see redos. I obviously no Orton, nothing like that. I want to see somebody completely almost out of left field for him to approach. And I've got a couple ideas in my head. Kevin Owens would be a nice one, but Kevin Owens has stuff going on. I also don't necessarily want it to be somebody coming off of a loss, because Edge is coming off of this big victory over Rollins. Now Rollins is in the world title picture while Edge is just popping up and he's back. So I want it to be somebody completely new to Edge.
Yeah, I hope it's someone new, and I hope it's something that captivates the audience, you know, and kind of brings a bigger main event feel to their roster. I know, listen, it's a transition period for them. I think for everybody right now, they're trying to figure out where they fall in line with all their products, including NXT, which is doing pretty good with the numbers. I got to say, I spoke to somebody there at USA, and both WWE and USA, that they're not upset with these numbers, you know, 625.
I think it's a lot. I think it's very comparable to like the Rampage thing. Like, what else in that time slot are they going to get that does that, especially for the amount that they're paying for NXT? Like,
yeah, which is not much.
Relatively speaking, I mean, this, it's a steal for them. And that misconception that existed for a long time with networks about wrestling fans being poor, wrestling fans not spending money, that has eroded significantly. I did a bunch of stories for Fightful Select this year about WWE's relationships with Fox and USA. I conferred with you on some of it. And a lot of the people at Fox and USA I was talking to, that were like, that's still a thing a little bit with the advertisers, but it's not with us. We know that wrestling draws eyeballs, even though it's significantly less than what it used to be. It's still more than a lot of other things. That sort of misconception has eroded a lot with networks, which is cool. Because, I mean, I just went to a convention not tied to any wrestling show, and it was packed wall to wall. Wrestling fans spending money. wrestling fans spend money. They like to go hang out with each other. They like to buy merch. They like to do these things. So I could see why USA Network, even though the numbers aren't 800,000 to 1 million, they would still be really happy with that.
Yeah, listen, 625, I think that's a very solid number for a product that's in a rebuilding phase. I don't think people that watched the previous NXT and watching this now, it's a very different identity and it's a very different concept than what people got used to on TV. Yes, it's the original core concept of developing new talent for the main roster. But now these guys are on network television. They don't have time to be on the WWE Network and maybe you catch up 1 week or 2 weeks. They got 2 hours every single week. For USA Network to get 625,000 viewers with a product that most of those guys are unknown to the general audience, not a bad place to be. You know, I think this is a
I don't think it's nearly as doom and gloom as a lot of people make it to be. Would it be better if it was more? Yeah, of course it would be. But a lot of these networks, like a lot of people think that NXT or Rampage are in the mud. The networks are like, well, we're doing all right. We're doing good for where we are.
You know, I find it interesting that when NXT comes out, a lot of people are. It's been very negative, especially when you see the community aspect of it and people online talking about it. It's been a little negative, sure. But you know, this week's NXT was, I thought it was a really good show. I think they got the message across. I think they did a great job at telling you the teams and why people are on certain teams. And Bron Breakker really is coming out to be that star for them. You know, he's, I don't want to say John Cena level, but you could see that they're trying to push that next guy and all eyes on him.
For better or for worse, anytime I watch NXT, I'm at least intrigued as to what they're going to do because I'm not sure what they're going to do. I'm not sure they know what they're going to do, but they are trying a much different approach and they're trying things much differently than has been the standard. I love that they turn the lights on in the damn building. That way you can actually see what's going on and you show that people are there to watch. You highlight that instead of hide it. I'm glad that that's happening. And there are plenty of changes that I wasn't necessarily on board with 2.0 as far as personnel and talent. Like there's some talent that is not ready, TV ready or anything. But I mean, they deviated from that themselves. The success of NXT forced its hand to be a third brand for a while. And then when it became less successful, they're like, okay, well, we'll just go back to developmental. And I'm okay with that. I just want to see some of these developmental talents actually swim on Raw and SmackDown instead of sinking all the time.
Yeah, I think, and that's been the big problem here, right? They've had X amount of years to develop that talent. And if you were to look at NXT and you look at homegrown talent within NXT, who were the breakout stars there? You know, I could tell you, I could count many on the women's roster that were breakout stars from NXT.
Sure.
I mean, it's actually amazing, and I think the story that they're going to tell eventually is that that group that came up together within NXT is the OVW class of 2002 for this generation, between Bayley and Charlotte and Becky. That crew really, you know, became big stars, and they came out of NXT, and the eyes were on them. But as far as the men's roster goes, and I'm not talking about these other guys that are being taken out, from different organizations. I'm talking about core NXT. I don't know what they've done. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here. On the line with me, Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful, the Sean Ross Sapp. Follow him on Twitter, guys. He personal friend of mine. We go back and forth all the time on Twitter. One of my wrestling buddies here, Sean Ross Sapp. Follow him on Twitter, Sean Ross Sapp. Of course, follow Fightful also. I wanted to kind of take some time here before I go into 2022 and the future of wrestling. I did get an update on those WWE Monday Night Raw numbers for tomorrow in Belmont at the UBS Arena. This massive, beautiful building, by the way. Stunning. I think when you're watching it, you'll feel that it's a really nice vibe there. So, current capacity and setup was 7,169. I had that wrong. I knew I saw 7,000 somewhere. There's about 1,900 tickets available. They sold about 189 tickets over the last since the last update. They're at 5,264. New York market, Sean. Listen, it's Long Island, and I know that the Nassau Coliseum crowd has always been dumped on as being a bad crowd. I've been there multiple times. I could tell you that building was terrible to be in to watch wrestling because it was falling apart when I went before the renovation, but it was always a quiet crowd in that building. And I don't know if it's, I have no idea why, but to sell 5,200 tickets in this brand new building, that's not a good sign, right?
No, I mean, AEW's a hotter ticket than WWE right now. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Like, and there's, if you go to an AEW show and you go to a WWE show, you'll see why. And there's, it's different types of audiences by and large. Like, you're going to see more families at WWE. You're going to see more children at WWE. You're going to see more grandparents with their grandkids at WWE. Like, it is a categorically different demographic, because when you go to AEW, it's usually 18 to 39, something like that, usually within that age range. And I mean, I don't know what that says about social and financial situations and where people are prioritizing things, or if there's a coincidence, if it's tied to show quality, the marquee, or anything like that. But I mean, when you put them side by side, I mean, I think that speaks volumes. And,
yeah,
and WWE and AEW have been running the same markets a lot, like right next to each other.
I do say that if I'm going to defend the ticket sales and defend this in any way, I would say that AEW has an advantage here, because it is coming off, WWE Raw is coming off the holiday, and there's a lot of holiday fatigue that comes into play here. I could tell you, being in the hospitality industry in New York City for a long time, I could tell you that tomorrow in New York City, it's a pretty quiet night to go out or do anything because of the holidays, not because it's Monday. Yeah. So that's obviously going to play a part in here, but very interesting stuff.
But then in, like, major markets like L.A., it's doing real good.
Tremendous.
Like they're doing really great in L.A.
Yeah. It's interesting to me, and I think it's saturating the market, really, more than anything else. You know, it's just saturation. I want to talk to you about 2022, Sean, because I love forecasting, and I love looking into the future and seeing, you know, where wrestling is going to be. Obviously, 2022, knock on wood, hopefully, will be the first year in a long time that we have an uninterrupted year. I'm crossing my fingers when I say this, by the way. I'm hoping that this is the case, because now we're going to see two very different products from WWE and AEW. AEW is going to have their first uninterrupted year of touring and having a live audience. They never got that chance in 2019 because they started in November. They didn't get that, obviously, in 2020. And 2021, it was kind of a half a year for them. So a lot's changing there. WWE, again, transitionary period for them. They had the pandemic period. Now this is going to be the first full year that they're going to have foresight to say, okay, in September we expect this, in October we expect this, without kind of putting your hands in the air and saying, I don't know, let's see what happens. Where do you see the landscape in pro wrestling shifting? Because Ring of Honor, doesn't look good. Impact is still kind of stuck in their little bubble. GCW has blown up over the last, I guess, the pandemic era, post-pandemic era. They've really exploded. They're running a show with the Hammerstein, which is going to be at packed capacity. Where do you see this headed? I mean, the indies are pretty much not great right now. A lot of talent is sitting at home. I want to get your opinion on this.
I think the indies are going to see a resurgence. I think we're going to see a pretty significant resurgence in the indies. I mean, Impact is where it is. MLW has actually scaled back their number of matches a little bit, even with this influx of talent. ROH, I don't expect ROH to be back. And even, like, okay, if you're Sinclair and you're in the situation you're in, you can do exactly what you're doing now with Ring of Honor for a fraction of the pay, for a fraction of that price. And the fact that they had a meeting with GCW to do a talent exchange for Effie and AJ Gray, two people who do not require a talent exchange agreement to book because they're free agents, it says to me that there was a difference in philosophy already. I think GCW is going to continue to expand. I think they're going to do really well. They're hot right now. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, what about a streaming or a TV deal for them? Well, I mean, a lot of people that they use here and there are people that, quite frankly, a lot of times they wouldn't be able to use on a TV deal. But then there are other shows where you look up and down and you're like, oh, okay, they could do this and there wouldn't be any like contractual issues. Like this weekend's show, they wouldn't have any contractual issues really running or live streaming that or running that on TV or anything like that. And they found their niche for sure. As far as like everybody else, AEW and WWE, I don't expect WWE to really aggressively adjust things. I can't pretend to understand what their plans or business model are after a lot of these talent cuts. And AEW, I think, is more staying the course and making sure that they capture a positive buzz. But man, it is a much different landscape because we haven't seen one without ROH in it for such a long time. And now they're not a player.
Yeah, since 2002. And ROH was instrumental in the last 10 years of pro wrestling. It's really an unsung hero for cultivating talent and a very unique talent and bringing that independent, style to the forefront. Guys like Cesaro, Danielson, CM Punk. I mean, the list goes on and on of people that have passed through Ring of Honor and have gone off to have tremendous careers. Look, NXT was Ring of Honor. I mean,
yeah,
from 2014 to 2018, it was really they took the best of the best and put them there and kind of depleted their roster.
I mean, think about the landscape of the white hot indies before AEW popped up. There was Evolve around. It's gone. ROH, it was had developed into not an indie, but a place where people would kind of graduate from the indies and go and get paid their full-time money and all that. Flow Slam is completely out of the equation. That's not around. So a lot of those subsequent umbrella companies are not. But you do have Warrior Wrestling, Black Label Pro, AIW, AAW, PWG, GCW. There are still like so many. Mission Pro has emerged like really, really well. There have been more blossoming scenes a little bit. So I think that's really going to accelerate in the coming months, especially maybe when it warms up a little bit, that becomes more of a thing. But I think it's going to accelerate an awful lot.
For me, being a New Yorker and being in the Northeast, Evolve going away is a big hit to my Saturday drinking schedule. I was a big fan of going to Evolve. It was right by my house, too. They would run these shows in a nightclub. Beautiful aesthetic at La Boom. And it looked great. It was a cool vibe. It was a couple hundred people, but you had this bar you would walk up to. I would grab a six-pack, put it down, and just drink and watch wrestling and enjoy it for like 3 hours. It was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed Evolve. And you know what? It's a hit, and I think we're going to see that with a lot of people. I think Ring of Honor was that for a lot of people. But GCW now has become very interesting to me. They have gone from a hardcore independent promotion to kind of becoming a mainstream, third contender, fourth contender in pro wrestling. Do you see them changing the overall presentation and kind of feel of what GCW is and going more from the hardcore wrestling to something that could replace maybe an MLW and a Ring of Honor?
No, but I think they could do that with another type of property underneath that umbrella because they're smart and they get like the Jersey Championship Wrestling stuff and they're very smart about sort of grabbing stuff like that. I don't think they'll necessarily change. I think they're very loyal to their audience. I mean, if it wouldn't surprise me if one day they're like, hey, we're going to scale back a little bit on the deathmatch stuff. I could see that. But then again, I could see Brett Lauderdale seeing this interview and being like, no, we're not doing that ever. Not for anything.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a very unique. Yeah. It's a very unique promotion in every possible way. To get essentially Zack Ryder, Matt over as this monster heel that's coming to destroy the territory. Sometimes it's luck, but most of the time it's not. And it was well orchestrated, and they did a great job at that. And I think it captured a lot of eyeballs. So whatever they're doing is working right now. And kudos to them to sell out the Hammerstein Ballroom. My personal favorite venue ever to go watch wrestling or anything with sports is the Hammerstein Ballroom, the Manhattan Center. It's iconic here, right by Penn Station. They're packing 2,000 people. And you know what? That is them saying, guys, we're taking over for Ring of Honor. This is now our place. We're going to run this venue. You don't see too many wrestling companies running there. And for them to be
well,
there.
And I asked Matt Cardona this weekend, I'm like, what's next? And he was like, people will call me crazy, but who knows? Maybe MSG one day. And I'm like, Jesus, man. I don't know about that, but
Matt, don't do it.
I think there's a possibility that when everything is fine, and I don't know if anything will ever be fine again, but look, before ROH bit the dust, I thought that they could have been a part of a big stadium show with Impact, New Japan, and AEW. If AEW's selling out, like, what, 16 to 20,000 seaters in a day or two, I believe that, like, a big mega super show with a convention attached to it could probably do a stadium.
I mean, that's been the speculation, right? All In was kind of the beginning of that concept that you could have this, you know, everybody works together for one big show. You know, you don't have to, you know, maybe you have a couple crossover matches, but if you're NWA, if you're, you know, MLW and you're GCW and you really want to get in front of that national audience, this is it. This is how you do it, by this mega show. I don't know if it's going to be 60,000 people, maybe 30,000, maybe 40,000, but, you know.
Who's to say GCW couldn't be involved in that, like, collaborative stadium show? Like, I mean, I'm sure they would love to have, like, a GCW match involved there or something like that, because GCW and AEW have been very friendly. Let's be real. If Tony Khan did not want John Moxley out there doing deathmatch stuff in GCW, I'm pretty sure he could create a situation where that wasn't allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about 2022, everything happening. We're going to wrap up the segment soon, but I wanted to thank Sean for coming on, because it's always great to have him on. I want to have him on more regularly. We're doing something different here on Sundays, where we want to kind of touch on different aspects of pro wrestling and different people that are within the pro wrestling industry. You've been covering this for a very long time, so I definitely want to thank you for coming on here.
Got me working on the Sabbath.
I got you working on the Sabbath.
You.
I know.
How it is, dare you?
And it is Hanukkah today. It is the first day of Hanukkah. So
it is.
Happy Hanukkah to everybody. So I want to, before I let you go, where can people find you? Obviously, they know who you are. But for the people that don't, people listening at home, where can people find you?
Absolutely not on Twitter. FightfulSelect.com. That's where we break a lot of our news. We have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Fightful. It would mean a lot if you guys would subscribe to that. And of course, Fightful.com. If you don't want to go for the exclusive content and the paywalled stuff, Fightful.com has a lot of really great stories. We have a great team that does a lot of good work over there.
Yeah. You do fantastic stuff, man. You should be very proud of what you're doing. Listen, when Denise is on the show with you, just say hello for me. Because you are my step co-host today. You are my step host today.
Wow.
All right. Little shot at Denise Salcedo. Guys, Wrestling Observer Live, we're going to be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here, closing out the show. Man, this Sunday went fast. It's always fun having the chat room going live on Twitch. I got the chat room going live on YouTube. I have you guys listening on the radio, messaging me on Twitter while this is going on. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think this is what pro wrestling should be about. Everybody talking, having fun, nice, calm, easy conversations. Nobody's getting worked up. But I want to remind everybody, guys, if you're enjoying the show, you can follow me on Twitter, at Andrew Zarian. You can follow Wrestling Observer everywhere. Wrestling Observer is available, all the podcast applications, everything. There's numerous podcasts at f4wonline.com, wrestlingobserver.com. You can go there, check out everything that we're doing over there. A lot of content, a lot of new stuff coming your way via Wrestling Observer. I also do a show on there called Mat Men with my co-host Rich Stambolian. For the last 10 years, we've been doing a show. We just started with Observer about a year ago, and it's been going tremendous. I absolutely love doing it. Next week, we're going to be joined by another guest here. I'm a little surprised. I'm going to keep it. I want to have Dave back on. Brian Alvarez will be coming on in the coming weeks, along with bunch of other people, and also Denise Salcedo. I'm gonna have Denise on as my co-host in a couple of weeks here, working out the schedule with her. This week we got a lot of great pro wrestling coming up. Dynamite looking to be a good show. We're gonna get Edge tomorrow on Raw from the UBS Arena, live in Long Island, as my fellow northeastern New Yorkers like to say here in New York City, Long Island. Guys, this was a blast. WrestlingObserver.com, F4WOnline.com. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian. And guess what? We're going to be back next week with Wrestling Observer Live. See you all next time, guys.